Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the first episode of the Revitalize Woman for 2020. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday with your friends and family and a great New Year's. It's always nice to unplug for a little bit and try to slow down around that time of year. So today's episode is with Sarah Koyman, owner of Milwaukee Mom and also mom to three boys. I have known Sarah for several years now and am a big fan of everything she's been doing for moms and women in our community. And she's just overall a really fun, kind person to be around. Not only do we talk more about Milwaukee Mom and the great resources available for local women, we also talk about her experience with pelvic floor physical therapy. This episode has a big mixture of topics, so there's a little bit for everyone. And if you're not a mom with young children, that's totally okay, because we also talk about prioritizing health as women and what to expect with pelvic floor PT. Lastly, before we jump in, I wanted to just mention that our online postpartum recovery course will be launching in roughly a month. So if you are currently pregnant or postpartum, this might be something of interest to you. I designed this course as a way to help you get started in your postpartum healing and really help you strengthen and alleviate some of the common issues that women deal with. So if you aren't sure if you're maybe would benefit from the course, I would really invite you to take our pelvic health quiz to see how your pelvic health compares to what's normal and not normal. So if you're interested in that, head on over to revitalize-pt.com/quiz in order to take that. I'll also link to that in the show notes. So keep your eyes open for more information about the course soon. All right, enough info. Why don't we get started? And I hope you enjoy the episode today. Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for being here today and Hello. Being on the podcast.
I'm excited to be here. Yes. It's so fun.
Me too. I'm super pumped. So I thought that we could kind of start with getting a little bit of your background. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got started and now kind of what you do with Milwaukee Mom's Blog.
So depending on when folks are listening to this, it might be the business name might be different. So I have to kind of start there. So depending on when you're listening to this, I am either the owner and co-founder of MKE Mom's Blog or the owner and co-founder of Milwaukee Mom. So
and when does that like changeover happen?
I wish I could tell you. Okay. And I'm not being coy, I promise. I'm not over here going, oh my gosh, I can't tell you. No, I legit don't know. But in a minute, this will all make more sense. So I'll probably use those terms interchangeably, simply because I'm trying to get my head around using the new name, even though we haven't actually rebranded to the new name yet. So,
and tell me what the new name is going to be again.
Milwaukee Mom.
Milwaukee Mom. Okay. Yes. I have to get my head around that also.
Right. I know. Well, that cat hasn't even been let out of the bag yet. So that's an exclusive, right? New, Ooh. Brand new right here to this
we
room.
We have the insider scoop.
You do. Well, because I thought about it and I realized that, you know, nobody listens to these things right in real time. So depending on when it's being heard, it could be totally different. So to rewind so that people have absolutely some sense of a clue of what I'm talking about. The website that I run, MK Mom's Blog or Milwaukee Mom, depending on where you are, when you are, is an online parenting resource for parents in the greater Milwaukee area. So we launched 4 years ago, and the goal was to create an online community for the parents of the greater Milwaukee area that also facilitated in-person connection. And it was really meant to be more of a comprehensive resource rather than just, hey, here's stuff to do with your kids, because while that is extremely valuable, we really wanted to come at addressing the more comprehensive experience of being a parent. Sure. And that involves a lot more than just how am I going to entertain my children today. That can involve how do I cultivate my relationships? How do I take care of myself? How do I handle my mental health? How do I establish and maintain adult friendships, which we've discovered is a very, very important topic among our readers. How do I explore my city in a new way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we kind of went down that rabbit hole. So we have our online content, which does involve a blog, but is much more than that. Sure. We also have in-person events. We have a robust social media community and community engagement group and more. So that is currently at mkemomsblog.com, but again, eventually it will be at milwaukeemom.com.
Awesome. So how did you get started with that?
Oh my goodness. I fell fell into it sort of accidentally. So my oldest son is almost 12. And when he was a baby, way back in the, you know, dark ages of blogging, I was living rather far away from family. And rather than like trying to update them in an obnoxious way about, you know, oh, we tried this new food today, or we got a new tooth, or we're crawling, I just started a very, very, very basic blog about what was going on in our lives and kind of as started as an update on the baby.
Sure, sure.
And I was also living in a very small village of 700 people with that had a gas station, a cheese shop, and a bunch of cows.
The necessities, of course.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say that was really basically everything that was there. And I had no community whatsoever of parents, or at least not parents with, you know, a baby my age. So I really had this sense of isolation. And so I started looking online and forged relationships with other bloggers on the internet who became both virtual and in real life friends. So that kind of grew over the course of several years. And then when we moved to the Milwaukee area, I now had three children. Mm-hmm. Moving from a village of 700 to a city of, you know, bigger, but not knowing anybody. And so once again, I was forced with, you know, faced with this problem of feeling isolated. And
sure.
So I had been writing online for, you know, many, many years at this point. So I decided I was going to look into what are some of the websites, what are some of the local online connections, because that's what I knew.
Sure.
And found that there was a website called Madison Mom's Blog through a friend of mine sharing one of the pieces on Facebook. And I thought, this is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I need to find the Milwaukee site so that I can apply to be a contributor. But there wasn't one. So I kind of went down that rabbit hole. And before you know it, I had purchased it and was off to the races. And that's kind of where it started.
That's awesome.
So it really just came out of that sense of wanting to not only connect with other moms, but also create a space so that that could be an option for others as well, having known how that feels.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, reading a lot of your content, you guys do a really great job at kind of bringing together all different aspects and also providing information for moms at all different stages, because,
thank you,
you know, a lot of times I think there's a lot of content based on like new moms and
yes,
moms of babies,
yes,
or first time moms. But then you get into like the toddler years or the school aged years.
Definitely.
And I don't know what happens at teenage years. That's like,
do you want me to
trouble.
Tell you or do you?
No, I don't
okay,
know.
I won't
I'm
tell
not
you.
Sure yet.
I won't tell you.
But I think, and you guys provide content kind of at every aspect of that, I feel. And I think, like, I'm sure a lot of your readers would agree with that, and that's probably partially why, you know, it draws in such a big sense and this community, because you have moms at different stages that you can,
yes,
learn from and interact, and I think that's great. That's awesome.
Well, we try, and honestly, I feel like one of the biggest challenges in motherhood is that you, I don't know if it's just the way that we are naturally, but I think it's so tempting, not tempting, but it's just easy to fall into this trap of suddenly having motherhood completely envelop your entire identity. Suddenly,
yeah,
you have no idea who you are anymore outside of so-and-so's mom.
Yes.
And whether you're in baby stage where you're up to your elbows in poop and diapers and breast milk or formula, and you're exhausted, and you don't have the space, the energy, the time, the will to have anything outside of that. And then as they get older, you can just as easily still get so hyper-focused on all of that, that it's so easy to forget that we autonomously are still women, friends, daughters, sisters, spouses, etc., professionals.
Sure. Yeah.
And so one of our goals is really to not only provide content that's helpful for you in your role as mom, but also in all of those other roles as well, because it's really challenging to try to cultivate that multifaceted identity, especially in the age of social media, yeah. when we're constantly comparing ourselves to literally everybody all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. And this image of like what things should be.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm sure most people, I know myself, like you become a mom and you have this idea in your head of what things are going to be like or what you're going to yeah. do. And that's not always the case. Rarely is it the
Very
case.
Very rarely. Yeah.
And it's difficult sometimes to kind of readjust to that new normal, and then you see stuff all day long
yeah,
online.
Absolutely.
Of like, oh, you should be doing this, or act like this way, or whatnot.
I've decided that when it comes to your parenthood experience, there's very few situations where the word should is actually appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. quite frankly, I mean, you know, yes, I should make sure that my children are eating.
Yeah.
All right, that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I should bathe them at some point. Yes, clearly. But, you know, when it comes to all of the other nitpicky, day in, day out expectations that we're setting ourselves up for, all of because of this should, this concept of should. I should be doing this. My child should be doing that. I should look like, talk like, be like, act like so and so. It's all nonsense.
Yes.
And it's absolutely killing us and making us much more stressed and anxious and overwhelmed, I think, and I have no data to back this up. None whatsoever. This is not from a scientific study. This is not from anything. This is literally just me doing the role that I do and talking to people and seeing it and feeling it myself. I feel like we are so stressed out yes. all of the time about yes. everything.
Yeah.
And it's an epidemic that I feel like is really starting to threaten the well-being of women across the board.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So with a lot of your content, I know at this point you have several contributors that yes. write content for you. How many do you have specifically right now?
30.
Wow, that's yes. awesome.
We actually, as we're recording this, I just onboarded last week 20 brand new writers.
Awesome.
I'm so excited because the cool thing about that is everybody brings a different perspective. Everybody brings a different set of experiences, set of beliefs, the things that are important to them that are, you know, pivotal in their parenting decisions might not even factor into this person's parenting decisions. And so being able to present a wide variety of experiences and perspectives is one of the things that I think we've really done well from the get-go, but that we've continued to improve on with each passing year.
Yeah.
And I might be the most excited I've ever been about this incoming group of writers.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm really, really pumped to see how our readers respond to the writing that they put out.
Yeah, that's great. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see all the new content, new pieces, and new topics and. That'll be great.
It's always exciting. It's always exciting to see what they bring.
Definitely.
There's always a new sense of enthusiasm and just you can always tell when somebody's writing about something that really, truly, it matters to them. They yeah. are passionate about it. They get worked up about it. It's something that they will talk. If you're me, you talk with your hands when you talk about it,
yes.
that sort of thing. And it comes through in the writing. And it almost always, if you're writing about something like that, it resonates with people when they read it.
Yeah. And I'm sure it also, adding on to that, like, it helps kind of bring in different perspectives to then be able to kind of reach out to all those different people and audiences.
Absolutely.
Because everyone has different takes on things, different experiences, different backgrounds.
Yes.
And so for you, if you were the only person writing content, it would be difficult to kind of get all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Whole approach.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to just listen to what I think all the time. And quite frankly, there's a power in feeling like you are being seen.
Sure.
You know, and we've talked about that sense of isolation being something that is kind of ironic in that we live in this hyper-connected age, yet women in particular are still struggling with this sense of isolation and loneliness to a degree that is damaging their mental health. How is that possible? How can we be so connected yet still be so alone? Sure. So pieces of writing, pieces of honest, authentic content can be that little thing, that tiny little part of your day where suddenly you are establishing a connection with another person that makes you go, oh my gosh, me too.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. I feel seen. And if depending on the season that you're in, that might be the first time that you've really felt understood, seen, validated in, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, who knows?
Right.
Especially when we're talking about those pivotal issues of motherhood that get to us. They really are essential, crucial pieces of our confidence as a mom.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we could probably talk for hours just about those particular issues that make us doubt, can I even do this?
Sure.
At our gut, at our core. Not just like, I don't know how to make organic baby food. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the, I've made a terrible mistake. I can't be a mom because fill in the blank with yes. whatever insecurity it is you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read about somebody that's going through something similar or that resonates with you specifically, it's so powerful.
Yeah, that have
it's so powerful.
Had the same thoughts, had the same feelings.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes, feeling seen and validated and encouraged is extremely crucial to the goal of what we do. And when I every once in a while, I will get a story back from either a reader or a friend of one of our writers or any number of different people. Somehow it will get back to me that a piece of writing that one of our contributors wrote has made a certain kind of impact that I could tell those stories, but it's kind of personal to
like
them.
More reader-based reach out to you.
So
and
I don't
say
feel
that.
Like it's very much my story to tell,
sure.
per se. But when I get that story back, there have been times where I have literally been either moved to tears or kind of just had the wind knocked out of me because it made such a difference for them. And it was one of those reminders that, okay, what you're doing is having an impact and it's worth it.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, I kind of feel the same way with what we do here. And there's always yes. those times that, you know, we get, you know, emails or stories or testimonials that really resonate with you and like validate, okay, this is why we're doing what we do every day with helping women. So I feel like, you know, we have so many people that come to us that are kind of at a breaking point where,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Maybe they're on the brink of divorce because they haven't been able to have sex with their husband for 10 years or, you know, they can't even care for their baby because they can't bend down to pick the baby up without completely leaking
pain.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So being able to help those people or even people that have gone to multiple places or multiple people and still are suffering and then kind of getting them and helping them get to that point is
yeah.
so rewarding and validating that, like, you know, I think everyone feels like what they're doing, they want to feel like they're making a difference or making an impact. And I think that's a great way to feel that way. And it's, you know, when you hear those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say that, you know, for consumers or readers or in your case, clients, patients, all of us are interacting with things on a daily basis. We're consuming content. We're frequenting businesses, brands. We're going to care providers. There is, as you just shared and as I kind of have mentioned with those stories that come back, there's a unique power, there's a unique sort of really weight behind it when someone gives you that encouragement, that and that that review. I mean, without, for lack of a better word, because we are so used to getting the bad feedback, right?
Right.
We're so used to the one-star Yelp review and the complaining on Facebook, and you know, we're so inundated with the negative,
yes,
nonsense now. We're almost numb to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we can turn around and provide positive, honest, authentic encouragement, feedback, and support to the people around us, the brands, the businesses, the care providers around us that are legitimately, I like this. They have made a difference for me. And let me, I want to tell you why. That is so impactful and important. And especially in the mom to mom, woman to woman relationship.
Yes.
Because the demographics don't lie and the studies don't lie when you look at the numbers, and that a woman is how much more likely to purchase a product, try a care provider, attempt, you know, try out a new service or whatever, if her friend tells her that she did and enjoyed it. And part of what we do on our website is to try to almost create like a go-between space where women can do that. And a lot of the sponsors and advertisers that we will do, that we will work with, are because we truly believe that we kind of stand in as that friend saying, hey, I recommend this to you because I really think you're going to benefit from it. And I know that's been our history with Revitalized Physical Therapy in that, I mean, I have personally experienced that life-changing experience that you're describing. And I will tell anybody who will listen about how much of a difference it can make. But that positive feedback, I think we need more of it, so much more of it.
Yeah. So to kind of fill in everyone listening, we've worked with Milwaukee Moms Blog here at Revitalized Physical Therapy. We've worked with them in the past, probably the past, I don't know, at least 2, maybe 3 years. With various... Yeah, probably about 3 years.
Quick note, various... this podcast is not sponsored.
Yeah.
It's not. It's legit. Not. It's legit not, you guys. Yes. It's just a conversation. It's not at all.
I convinced Sarah to come on here with coffee.
It does not take much convincing to get me to talk for a long period of time.
But it's not hard. One of the things that, you know, has come up on various occasions with, you know, whenever we've been together is... and I'm saying this with Sarah's permission, just FYI.
It's fine.
So, but some of the issues that Sarah has had with pelvic floor issues, and we've really been trying to encourage her to do something about it, because I think there's a big misconception that, oh, you've had kids, so you're just going to pee your pants all the time. Like, that's a normal thing of becoming a mom, and... kind of like wearing it as a badge of honor almost.
Yep.
Like, hey, I went to the park, jumped on the trampoline, or, you know, ran around and peed all over. Like, congrats. Uh-huh. Like, you are officially a mom, which is not true and not normal. And so we kind of had the idea to do almost like a sponsored thing with the website. And Sarah underwent treatment here for pelvic floor PT to kind of help with a lot of her issues. And so I know the feedback that we've gotten from that has been huge, because so many people said, you know, they really hesitated, or they've been following us for a while or have looked us up, but then actually seeing you go through it and talk about your process with it really made them feel so much more comfortable with taking that step to come forward, because a lot of people just, you only know what you know, and people don't realize that A, it can help, B, this isn't normal, and C, like, it's maybe not as bad as what you have made out in your head, potentially. But
I don't know, man.
So, I would love to hear a little bit from you just kind of on this topic to help some of the women that are listening right now.
Yeah.
I am going to guess that you probably dragged your feet with it quite a bit, like in, say, agreeing to this in the first place. But what was kind of like your thought process, and what was, you know, did you have some hesitations with even going that route?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things I want to say, and I need to try to organize my thoughts. So number one, I think I need to establish exactly how bad this was. Because sure. I think all of us have had that situation where we've either coughed too hard or sneezed or whatever, or in your example, trampoline, where all of a sudden we have that face and we're like, oh, I just peed a little. That is not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is on a daily basis having to be worried about legitimately peeing your pants. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a little leak here and there. I am talking about I would sometimes think about my day and plan to bring a change of bottoms with me.
Sure.
Because I knew there might be a chance that that would happen. I would avoid certain social situations because literally if I laughed too hard, we weren't just going to get like a, oh, I just peed. No. Yeah. I was going to be sitting uncomfortable in wet.
Yes.
I think I have two anecdotes that really illustrated how awful this was. Number one is when I actually got tickets to go see a comedy show with my husband, and it was in Illinois, and we were driving there, and we had to make an emergency stop at CVS because I had forgotten to pack a poise pad. And yeah. My husband was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you don't understand. I cannot go without this.
Yeah.
And because I knew I would be laughing and it was going to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so
not a comfortable situation.
Yes, legitimately made an emergency stop at CVS. I'm an alumna. Now I'm going to have to look that up.
I don't know.
I went to the University of Wisconsin. And as everybody knows, at the end of the third quarter, y'all jump around, right?
Yes.
In college, I could jump around. You know, House of Pain, living it up, jump, no problem. You go back to a game. I went back to a game and, you know, multiple times since becoming a parent. And my jump around now was just a heel lift.
A little shoulder
shrug. Yeah, it was a little, you can't see me right now, but I'm just doing this. I know that sounds like a lame example, but you know, I legitimately couldn't jump and would not go to physical fitness, like workout classes, all of these things because it was really that bad.
Yeah.
And there would be times where literally just standing up from a sitting position would be enough. So it was affecting my daily life in a very negative way. But honestly, like you said, for over a decade, I assumed it was just part of being a mom.
Yeah, because that's what everyone tells you.
Right.
And that's what everything you read says online. Like, oh.
Yes.
There's
jokes.
You peed your pants.
Yeah, like, exactly. We just make light of it. No, right. I guess I just pee my pants now.
Yeah.
I remember there was one time that I asked, I think it was on Facebook about it. I can't remember where exactly, about, you know, I got vulnerable for like the first time being like, you know, this is really a problem, but I really want to go to the gym and take these, you know. And the number one piece of advice I got was wear black pants.
Yeah.
That's all I was told. Well, just wear black pants.
Yeah. Or do more Kegels.
Yes. Or do more Kegels. When number one, I didn't know how to do a Kegel correctly. You know, you think you know from watching like, you know, your movies or whatever.
Right.
But you don't really know.
No.
And furthermore, of course, later I come to find out that, you know, actually doing Kegels is not recommended depending on what your situation is. But I didn't know that at the time. So
correct.
that was the recommendation. Wear black pants, do more Kegels, you'll be fine. Suck it up.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we really started getting to know you and your team here that I started to dare to consider what it would be like to not be in fear of bladder leaking every single day of my life.
Yeah. Yes.
But, as you also said, was I really ready to go down that path and have to share all of that with all the people. But I think I even made a joke about it earlier today that I think you get to a certain point in your life where you go, you know what? The reason that I didn't know that this wasn't normal, that I didn't have to live like this, is because nobody told me.
Yeah, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Exactly.
And I get it. I mean, they are definitely sensitive topics, embarrassing topics. No one wants to admit that, let alone, like, you know, it's not typically dinner conversation to be like, hey.
Let's go get some cocktails and talk about my bladder leakage. It's going to be super fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Unless you're a public floor PT, then that's what you do. You have coffee and sit and talk on a podcast
about exactly. Yeah, so eventually you're going to get to the point where you go, if I don't talk about it, this, and if I don't tell people, who's going to then? You know, at some point, somebody has to be the person to stand up and go, okay, you know what? Let's just talk about peeing my pants. It's fine. Yes. We're all, like, just assume we're friends here, and let's just get over ourselves and do it. And so we did.
Yes.
So that's kind of how it started.
And then what was kind of your experience with the process? I would love to kind of hear your thought process through it.
So, okay, I started documenting literally from day one, where I hadn't even gone to an appointment yet. So I put this on our Instagram stories, and I really wanted to provide honest, here's kind of where I'm thinking, here's how this is going throughout the process, so that it wasn't just like one of those hokey before and after kind of situations. I really wanted to communicate along the way, like, hey, this isn't like somebody waving a magic wand and suddenly you don't pee yourself anymore.
Sure.
This is an intimate, long-term relationship that you are establishing with a care provider, the likes of which is probably going to be rather unique. Like, let's be real here, right? Like, you don't go to your dentist and, like, have the sort of interactions that you do with your pelvic floor therapist. It's going to be up close and personal. And yes. I think, as I discovered, a lot of people did not fully understand that either. And I don't know that I even fully understood it until I came in for my first appointment. And it was like, okay, so we are going to spend 45 minutes in your vagina. And it was like, okay. So I really felt like, again, you know, I had been like, I'm going to be the truth teller here. I'm going to be the person who says, here's how this is. And I got a lot of feedback from people going, wait, they do what?
Yeah. Well, I think, I guess, how would you know?
You wouldn't know. Don't know what you don't know.
I also think, like, a lot of people, they hear PT, and so they think of, like, you know, this old school approach to PT of, like, you're just sitting there doing exercises.
You're going
to
bounce around on an exercise ball.
Do a couple, you know, bridges, whatever. And then there are also a lot of PTs out there that might say that they, you know, treat women's health, or they're pre and postnatal specialists, but they really aren't pelvic floor PTs. So again, they're doing exercises, and then they're saying, well, just do more Kegels, or here's kind of a regimen of Kegels, without ever truly assessing the pelvic floor. And so I think a lot of people, they have no idea that, you know, what we do, the best way to assess is to actually feel the muscle.
To get on up in there and see what's happening.
The only way you can, you know, really, truly know. And then, you know, in some scenarios, you have to do a lot more, like, manual work if the muscles are too tight or overactive, which in Sarah's case, that was part of the problems
which
we were working with.
Which was mind-blowing to me. The fact that the reason I would pee my pants all the time is because the muscles were too tight.
Yes.
That would have never crossed my mind. The other part that was mind-blowing is that when you conducted your analysis and your examination, you were able to describe, well, have you also been having issues with, and you would list out these things, and suddenly it was like putting a puzzle piece together that other symptoms that I had been experiencing that I thought were just something wrong with me that were just like, you know, well, this is just an issue.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. We're actually also related to my pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So things like scar tissue causing pain and other, you know, like how I would often get this, you know, shooting sharp pain through my inner thigh that I thought, you know, like, oh, this is just me being old or whatever.
Yeah, right. Pull the muscle or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all of these things. My lower back pain. All of these things that I just thought were part of me that were just kind of like, this is how it is. You're like, no, this is all tied to your pelvic floor. So there was a significant amount of education that went into it, learning about your own body. And I mean, I could rant and rave for a long time simply on how I don't feel like women, young women especially, and then even grown women are given sufficient education about our own bodies and how our bodies work. Yeah. And we're coming on back to that should word again. But in this case, what is normal, what is not normal, and what we should and should not have to live with.
Correct.
And
yeah.
I had been given for a very long time a lot of misinformation about how you just have to live with this because that's how it is now. And yeah. It was all untrue.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of re-education that has to go into it.
Definitely. And for anyone listening too, if you want a little more information on some of that, like should you be doing Kegels or what exercises are maybe good or not so great to do if you have some of these problems, you can always go back and listen to our first three episodes where we kind of talk a little bit more in depth with that. And I'll link that in the show notes for you as well that you can kind of go back and listen. So Sarah, I want to also just to kind of wrap this up and then I have a couple other questions for you still, but tell everyone kind of where you are now after doing pelvic floor PT. You know, are you able to go to a football game and do a little bit more than some shoulder shrugs?
Yes, some jump around is back in my life and I am so excited. Now, I am not going to, you know, these high intensity HIIT classes by any stretch, or you will not catch me jumping rope for long periods of time, mostly because I don't want to, but also because I think the way you described it was like, that was like level 10, you know? And so that's something that you need to work up to. But the other thing I have to tell you that I appreciated so much was how I told you, you know, you made me do this like food and beverage diary as well as when you go to the bathroom and how much and all of these things. And I told you, you will have to pry my coffee out of my cold, dead hands. And because I had several people asking, yeah, but did you have to give up coffee? Listen, I would not be sitting here alive today if I had to give up my coffee. And you really worked with me to be able to work my lifestyle around the betterment of my health. And so now I know, you know, I literally will not have coffee past noon anymore. I intersperse water back and forth with my coffee to dilute the diuretic, not caffeine or whatever it is that makes me have to pee. All I know is that I have to alternate coffee and water and be done drinking coffee by noon and be aware that if I have my evening glass of wine, that is likely to make me more likely to leak. So yeah. I'm very mindful of that. But I am just completely not exaggerating when I say that the treatment that I got was life-changing because I no longer have to be afraid to go places and do things out of fear that I'm going to completely wet my pants. There are obviously high stress situations that can still be a challenge. Like if you guzzle a whole bunch of water right before the end of the third quarter and then decide to try jump around, okay, let's be real. But I can sneeze and cough and laugh and go about my daily life now in a normal way. You still will not catch me on a trampoline because I still think those things are just death traps, quite frankly. But It's been amazing, and I'm so grateful, so grateful. And I will tell everybody who will listen what a difference it can make, just even, not even just for that particular issue, but for a myriad of issues as well. It really works, and it's so important that you are mindful in who you select to provide your treatment, though, because as we've discussed, it is a very intimate, involved process, and you have to be comfortable with your care provider, not just in that physical sense, but I mean, you need to be as open and honest as you possibly can for you, the provider, to be able to understand the problems, the right. treatment. You need to be able to communicate the feelings and the sensations that you're experiencing as you're providing treatment in a way yeah. that makes sense so that you get the best care. And if you're not comfortable doing that, it's really going to harm the process. So
yeah,
I feel like that's really important to point out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely ask a lot of in-depth, pretty personal questions.
Very personal.
And talk about a lot of pretty personal topics.
You gotta become almost best friends, like, real quick.
Yeah, we get really close real quick. You know, that first hour together is like, you know, put uh-huh. 5 years together all into an hour to become BFFs.
Yep.
But... you know, not everyone, you know, everyone has different levels of comfort. And so it's kind of like meeting people where they're at
yeah.
and working with them, I think, is also important to point out too,
because absolutely.
Everyone comes in different scenarios. So, yeah, but that makes me really excited to hear and really happy to hear that, you know, you've been able to kind of regain so much function back in your life. That's awesome.
Yes, it makes me happy too.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope that kind of helps other people too, to hear some of that, you know, that it's not normal and that there are kind of options out there for them.
Yes, you do not have to live that way.
No, no. So, you know, don't wait like 10 years. We'll just fast forward.
Yeah, learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes.
So the other thing I kind of wanted to ask you, circling back when we were talking about you onboarding, you know, 20 new contributors this
yes.
year, and now you have quite a large team, really, to manage, and I kind of wanted to just get your perspective on how do you manage running a business, but now also managing a larger team,
yeah,
as well as having a family and a life outside of that. How do you, you know, manage all of that, and how do you organize things?
Coffee and therapy. No, I'm not joking. So I wasn't playing, and I was like, you have to pry my coffee out of my cold dead hands.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew we would have to have coffee today.
Yeah.
Or wine. I mean, one of the two.
Well, and oh man, that's another part that's another thing that I could go off on about wine, mommy wine culture.
Oh, but yes, I know the mommy juice boxes.
Yeah, and... I could rant for an entire podcast about
yeah.
that, but I know that we're wrapping up on time, so I'm not going to monopolize it for that. But coffee and therapy. So I have an incredible team that helps and surrounds me, because one thing that's very hard for a personality like me to accept, for those who are into the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 3, and we are very performance oriented. We get all of our validation, all of our identity, etc., from the reactions of others. And
sure.
so it's very difficult for us to delegate. It's very tough for us to accept help. And I've had to learn over the last 4 years that when I do take everything on myself, I am actually depriving other very talented, smart, empowered people. I am depriving them of the opportunity to discover something or to improve or to advance a skill of theirs in a way that they deserve.
Yeah.
And that's very, very hard for me. And it's something that anybody on my team will tell you. It's a battle with me every single time to get me to let go and let them do it.
Yeah.
And
I think almost like yeah. every entrepreneur probably struggles with that to some degree.
I'm going to go ahead and tell myself that every single one does.
Yeah.
Because it'll make me feel a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not alone. I have the same yeah. struggles, and... it's, you know, your business is kind of like another baby, essentially.
Oh, it absolutely
and you grow
is.
It and
absolutely is.
Beat it. And so it's hard to kind of let go of that control and also realize that there are, you know, other people that have all of these other talents and are more than capable of doing things, even if it's maybe not necessarily the way you would have done something.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of being okay with opening yourself up to that.
And it's hard.
Yes.
It's so hard.
So hard.
Yes.
Do you ever get, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like as a female entrepreneur, it's almost like downplayed to some degree the amount of work and effort and sacrifice you put in to succeed. And then when you do succeed and you have success, it's almost like you're kind of like made to feel guilty that what you're doing is making you money and you can make a living off of it while also doing good in the world. But do you ever feel like that? Do you ever get those things?
Yeah, almost that sense that, like, people are expecting you have to, like, justify it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, almost argue your legitimacy.
Yes.
In a way. And I think part of that is the fact that whenever you are an entrepreneur of any sort, whether where you have a thing that you are passionate about, that you are good at, that you have built there, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, is this skepticism mm-hmm. about it,
yeah.
and this sense of that it isn't quite fully legitimate. Like, nobody would ever dream of going to the veterinarian and saying, "Wait, so you want me to pay you for this service?" And, like, don't you feel bad being gone at the vet's office all day taking care of animals when you should be home with your family?
Yeah.
Nobody would dream of saying that
right.
to the veterinarian, the chiropractor, the dentist, the, you know, the whoever.
Yeah.
The, you know, the construction worker. Nobody would ever dream of it. But when you're an entrepreneur and you're doing whatever it is that thing is, or building whatever that thing is, it's almost like it's at odds with every other aspect of your life
mm-hmm.
in the eyes of the community at large, which, and I think it's especially enhanced for women.
Yeah.
Especially enhanced for women. I have a very good friend who has worked her tail off for years now and is, like, just this close to launching her brand with a product line that is going to be fantastic. And she was sharing authentically on Instagram recently about how her daughter has been struggling with the transition to kindergarten and looking for people's advice, you know, or just like, you know, encouragement and feedback about, you know, what have you done to really help ease that transition to kindergarten, et cetera.
Right.
And this is not, by the way, this is not an isolated example. This happens to this poor woman constantly, and I want to throat punch everybody who does it to her. But somebody even came in with, like, you know, do you think she's having a hard time transitioning because you are always gone and working so hard and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Why do we do this to one another?
Right.
You know? And, you know, she's, like, it just made me so mad because, like I said, this isn't an isolated example of things that have been said and done to her. Sure. Nor is this an isolated example of things that have been said and done to women in the workplace, especially in the entrepreneur space for how long?
Yeah.
Right. And I don't have an easy solution to it, but it's prevalent and frustrating and mm-hmm. infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, so both my husband and I own our own businesses, and we kind of compare notes a lot of times because, you know, both of us have different setups, if you will, for our business. But, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of times where, like, I leave the house in the morning, the kids are still sleeping, I get home at night and they're already in bed.
Yeah.
And I literally didn't even see them for the day. And I've had to really become good about being okay with balance in a sense of, like, not every day is balanced. I read a book, I think it was by Christy Wright, actually, that said this life balance, it doesn't exist in the sense of, like, you know, every day is perfectly balanced. You have seasons. Like, there are times where, like, work is going to be more demanding. There are times when maybe your focus is more on your family. And so I kind of try to balance my week in that. Like, yes, you know, when I'm working, I'm working. When I'm home, I'm really trying to be home.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy that, like, we have to even justify that to some degree because no one ever says anything to my husband if he has to work late or work extra.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah.
You know, if he's going to add more time. Yet, you know, being a female entrepreneur, it's, for example, after having a baby and I came back at 6 weeks postpartum back into the business, and we were never really truly off.
And people had thoughts, I'm betting.
Oh, yes. And everyone's like, I can't believe that. And don't you want more time? And are you going to come back full time? Like, are you staying home? And it's just crazy that, you know, you're made to feel that pressure of like, you have to do it this certain way and that.
Right. Well, and I compared notes with my husband once. But he used to travel to China for work all the time, and he would be gone for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And every once in a while, and I do mean every once in a while, I will travel for work for a couple days at a time.
Sure.
Almost every single time I travel, I have somebody ask me, who's with the kids? Who's taking care of the kids?
Yeah.
In over two dozen...
just left them at home alone for a couple days. Yeah. No big deal.
They're fine. We have a fenced-in yard. but in almost... 24 trips that my husband took to China, he actually counted in his passport. I think it was somewhere between 24 and 28. I can't remember the exact number of trips to China. Not once, not ever has anybody asked him what the situation was with the kids while he was gone.
Yeah.
Not once, not ever.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Sure.
I'm just saying that that is the environment in which women are living and trying to excel, trying to thrive, and it's just there's things that are just stacked against us.
Yes.
And when you were talking about seasons, I also wanted to mention that I can take no credit for this concept. This was actually in a book by John Acuff. He has two fantastic books that I highly recommend to people. One's called Do Over, and one is called Finish. And I don't remember in which book this concept is, but it has constantly reminded me of something, a concept that I really recommend to everybody because I thought it was brilliant. It's called Choose What to Bomb. Mm. That in certain seasons where you are either in a tough part of work or there's a baby that's just arrived or for whatever reason there's a particular season where you have to focus in hard on a particular project, goal, survival,
area,
whatever,
yes.
We so easily get caught up in this, I'm dropping the ball, I can't keep up, I'm overwhelmed, I'm failing at this. But what if we choose the thing that we're going to fail? What if we choose what we're going to bomb? In this season, I am choosing to bomb the laundry.
Yeah.
I am just going to be okay with the fact that there are constantly 5 baskets of unfolded laundry sitting there staring at me.
Yeah.
Or in this season, I am choosing to bomb Netflix. Don't at me, you guys. It can happen. Because if you are hustling on a goal, you're trying to finish the book, you're trying to launch the business, you're trying to da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is, maybe just for that season, you can't talk to people about the latest episode of whatever because you're choosing to bomb your Netflix. You're just, you'll
something
get caught
has
up
to
later.
Give.
Something has to give. But if you are choosing
you choose what has to give,
it's much more empowering. You're choosing to bomb your lawn looking nice. You're choosing to bomb volunteering with the PTA. Once again, don't at me because sometimes that season requires it for your family's health and, and your mental benefit and etc. And so choosing what to bomb, I love that concept and I will tell people about it all the time. But again, yeah, that was from John Acuff in one
of his
books.
I haven't read those.
Highly recommend.
Look them up. Yeah, it sounds good.
Very good.
I know when you first got started, you were staying home with the kids, if that's correct, and that kind of, you know, spiraled. What would be your advice to moms that are maybe home with the kids that are looking to try to do something working from home that they can make money to try to, like, contribute to the family or whatnot?
So in my particular case, if we rewind the tape quite a ways, when I had babies and toddlers, I was at home during the day, and then I was waiting tables nights and weekends. And then eventually, by the time I started building the website, I had a part-time job during the day, waited tables nights and weekends, worked freelance as a virtual assistant, and was building this website. So at one point I had as many as 4 simultaneous jobs. I do not recommend that.
Yeah.
Because as anybody who knew me in that season will tell you, sleep was a luxury, not a requirement. What I will say is that there, I think, is a difficult environment for women who are in that situation right now, who have chosen to be at home for most of the day with their small children, yet still want to contribute financially somehow to their families. And I feel like there are some industries, which I will not name, that have become that have taught people to be somewhat predatory to these women, which I think is a shame, because there are people who can work in these industries with integrity that are overshadowed by this overwhelming sense of fear from women that they are going to be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's almost this hesitancy from women in that situation to even ask for help,
mm-hmm.
to ask for suggestions, because they're so afraid that someone's going to see them as vulnerable and pounce.
Sure, yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the flip side of that coin is that the cool thing is that we are now living in a sort of business environment and culture where there are a lot more remote jobs that are available. There's a lot more emphasis on experience over the correct degree.
Sure.
And there's a lot more flexibility in the career fields when it comes to being able to contribute in those ways. So creativity, I think, is something that we need to lean harder into rather than just looking for that obvious solution.
Yeah,
I know that probably doesn't sound... It may or may not answer the question very directly, but all of that to say, I don't think there's an easy answer, but I think mm-hmm. if you are thinking outside the box, being creative, and tapping into your trusted network
mm-hmm.
of friends, particularly women, again, trusted yeah. network, who know you, know your strengths,
sure.
know what you're looking for, and have realistic goals, there is something.
Yeah.
There is something.
Yes. That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for being on today.
Of course. I've had so much fun.
Can you kind of tell everyone where they can find you, find what you do, or if they have questions, where they can reach out to you?
Depending on when you're listening, you can either find us at mkemomsblog.com or milwaukeemom.com. If you tried that second one and it doesn't work, try the first one. And then on social media, we will, again, either be at MKE Mom's Blog or at Milwaukee Mom.
Awesome. Awesome. I will link to both of that on the show notes as well. But my last question and closing is, what is your current favorite way to do self-care?
Current favorite way to do self-care. So my best friend is like the guru of self-care. She preaches self-care harder than most people would ever even anticipate. Like, she journals, she does yoga, she drinks tea, she does spa nights with her daughter. I am admittedly awful at self-care. Again, I'm an Enneagram 3, so I'm just terrible. So I have not been good about this, but if I were forced to take care of myself and it was, you know, not an option, my favorite thing would be to be somewhere. As much as I'm an extrovert, I recharge solo quite often when it comes to these things. So I would be in a beautiful hotel room all by myself with a fantastic book and yes. having nobody talk to me, having my phone off.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that is my jam. So that would be how I would choose to recharge, would be with a fantastic book and either a warm mug of chai or a beautiful glass of red wine and just get lost in a book.
Glorious. Awesome.
No phone.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much again, and I really appreciate you taking the time today to talk to everyone.
Thank you for having me. So fun.
Okay, thanks for tuning in today. You can find all of the resources that were mentioned in today's episode in our show notes at revitalize-pt.com/EP09.
Again, that is revitalize-pt.com/EP09. Before you leave, today's pelvic floor tip of the day is to stop drinking fluids 2 hours before bed in order to eliminate nighttime voiding. So if you find yourself waking at night to go to the bathroom, or you have any urge or stress incontinence, especially at night, this will really help that. All right, everyone, I will see you on the next episode of the Revitalized Woman podcast.